Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The show starts in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Hello, hello. Happy birthday, America. And happy birthday to everyone worldwide. Happy birthday, America. And shout out to everyone, all listeners worldwide that are celebrating America's birthday. Also, thank you. Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. Thank you for joining us on America's birthday, on Independence Day. Cousin Linda is online. And just like last week, Cousin Linda said she would like to focus most of her discussion on the Delta variant. So we will be talking about, of course, the 4th of July, Independence Day, different views. There are many views regarding celebrating America's birthday. It's a holiday. Today at Massage Envy, we're closed nationwide, those of you that love Massage Envy. Tomorrow it's a federal holiday. Many places are closed tomorrow in recognition of the holiday. So we will just go ahead and not waste any more time and put Cousin Linda on. The telephone number to call us. Chat with us in the chat room, too. I'm in the chat room right now. 516-59-8255. We'll take calls. This is a 60-minute show. And last week it was scheduled to be a 60-minute show, and we turned it into a two-hour show. So we will chat, call in, listen, press 1 if you'd like to make a comment and chat with us. But we thank you again. Happy birthday, America, and big shout-out to all listeners worldwide. Thank you all, new and old supporters, those that have been with the show since 2011, March the 21st, 2011. Thank you, and those that are new listeners, thank you also. Want to make a shout-out to the top 5 listening countries as of today. Of course, our native, Cousin Linda, our native country of the U.S., Canada. Big shout-out. I've never been to Canada. Well, I've only been to Chicago. This is north as I've been, to be honest. Canada is a favorite country of mine. India. Big shout-out to you all. You all are the hot topic. Well, I won't say you all are the hot topic, but the Delta variant, which originated in India, would be the hot topic. So I didn't mean to say it that way. My apologies for saying it that way. But the Delta variant is a focus of attention, and it need be. Like Cousin Linda and I mentioned about a month ago, we've only seen, like, Good Morning America, Nightline. I guess I'm assuming CNN have early on had focused news stories on that, but it's something that need to be talked about because I just looked at the stats. India leads in the world with the most cases, so it's important for people to know what's going on so we can get the aid there to the people and not just in the hangars and warehouses and to the hospitals and nursing homes and everywhere that they need to be. So excuse the way I worded that, but we need to talk about it. I'm so glad Cousin Linda pointed that out, that we need to discuss that. And the way we are opening back up America and the world to this new life, is the cases are going down, but then also the spike in certain areas. Big shout out to Italy and Germany. Those are the top 5 listening countries Looking at the stats right here on blogtalkradio.com. U.S., Canada, India, Italy, and Germany. Again, the number is 516-595-8255 and email us at culturetreshock, K-U-L-T-R-E-S-H-O-K, E-N-T, Beth, E-N-T underscore Beth at yahoo.com. We also will be talking about the release of comedian and humanitarian Bill Cosby. I know that was a case early on that touched Cousin Linda, and it touched me, and it touched many of us on if we're neutral on one side or the other. It's important because that caught me off guard, honestly. I had no idea he was being released. It had been announced like maybe 7 hours early. I didn't find out till that evening, like right before they released him. So when I see where Felicia Rashad had released an apology statement to the students that to her students regarding, because some people took her celebrating a different way. But again, let's go on and get this party started. Cousin Linda is on. Hello, Cousin Linda.
Hello, Cousin Bethany. I said hi, Cousin Bethany, and to the other listeners.
Right, yes. So are you doing pretty good? You had any barbecue today?
No, I haven't. Hey, Beth, I hear like an echo. Well, not an echo, but I hear my voice afterwards.
Uh-huh.
So I guess the connection is okay. At first, I was hearing myself.
Uh-huh. I was concerned that you are hearing me. But I hear you pretty good. I didn't even hear an echo. I don't even hear an echo on me.
Well, it was kind of like after the effect or whatever.
Right.
I don't know the technical term. Yeah, but it's cleared up.
Is that right, echo?
Hmm?
Do you still hear the echo?
No, it's
okay,
cleared
great.
Up.
Because I don't hear an echo.
Okay. I haven't had
I was
had
concerned
real...
if you could hear me.
Yeah, I hear you fine. I heard
great.
The introduction, everything, and I can still hear you. Yeah, it's a great connection.
Okay, good. And listeners, chat with us and call in so others can hear your voices also.
Yeah, especially from India, because I just love Indian food. I can't get enough of it.
Right.
And I love Indian food and German food and Canada. I've been to Canada twice.
I thought you had. You know I love to hear your stories.
Yeah,
I
was visiting your sister Diane and her family. And
right.
I told her,
my late mom. Even
mom
traveled to Canada. She visited Canada.
Did she?
Well, let me hear your story.
Oh, it was nothing major. I was visiting Diane and her family, like I said, and one day we were trying to determine what we wanted to do, and I told her I wanted to go to Canada, and she said she didn't know how to get back if we got over there. I think there were a lot of, like, highway signs telling you how to get across the bridge.
Oh.
And I said, because I just come back from Paris and London, and I said, well, now I know if I can navigate myself around Paris and London following those signs, we can get back from Canada. And so we did go across the bridge to Windsor, Ontario, and took some photos naturally, and we found our way back. Oh, I went to a record store, too, because I was looking for a particular album that I hadn't been able to find in the United States. Didn't find it in Canada either. But, we went over and had a nice little few-hour trip. I can't say a day trip because we didn't spend the entire day. But
you did enjoy and had lunch.
No,
we
didn't get to eat lunch. We just went over there and posed for some pictures. I think we were over there a few hours.
It's good you found a record store.
Huh?
I said, it's good you found a record store. And knowing you two, you did find a dress shop.
And we didn't even shop for clothes or anything. I wanted to, but didn't.
Yes, I love mothers. When mother went up there to visit too, when she was first diagnosed, I enjoyed mother's story too. She said she traveled that underground tunnel to Canada.
We may have gone
under something.
Okay, well, we may have gone through a tunnel. I don't know where I got bridge from, but I thought it was a bridge. We probably took a tunnel then because it was way, way back there when I went.
Wow.
So I could have my memory could be a little not so clear on that.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. My mother enjoyed her, I guess, a few hours. I guess she went over and came right back. But what she told me was, seemed like it was very nice, and I always wanted to travel to Detroit so I could travel to Canada like you two.
Yeah. Well, you can take a flight.
I'll check out Detroit and Motown and all of that.
Yeah, we went to see Hitsville, USA,
mm-hmm.
and the Henry Ford Museum, and something I think called Cobalt Hall or something in 8 Mile Highway. She did a real good job of taking me to the major sites in Detroit.
Like in Dallas, she kept us. Oh my goodness, a preteen. She kept me, kept DD and I so busy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing how she learned and you all learned. Dallas metropolitan area are the main attractions and attractions that everyday people enjoy.
Yes, I remember when Diane and I went to South Fork Ranch. When we moved here, we had thought that South Fork Ranch was in Dallas. And from talking to different people, they would say, no, it's in Garland. No, it's in Wiley. And one young lady told me, she said, it's in Murphy. I'd never heard of Murphy, Texas.
Right.
And she was correct. Yeah, it is in Murphy. But Diane and I decided we were going to find it wherever it was. And this was before Google and GPS. And they had Mapsco. That was a big thing here, but we didn't have a Mapsco. So what we did was just headed out on the highway and stopped at a couple of service stations. And the people there said they didn't know how to tell us to get there. So I pulled into another service station, and I told Diane to go in. I said, I'm just too embarrassed. I said, Diane, go get directions. And this service station person had some maps that they had made a lot of copies of, and just said, here, take some maps. And so we got the map and looked at it and went straight on to South Fork Ranch. And I posted some of those pictures on Facebook.
Right.
We had a real nice time.
Right. And then she took Dietra and I, her daughter, my niece, you all, she took Dietra and I a couple times there with no problem. So after you all's road trip, she was able to get back. But the time we went, well, I think we went, it's like we went twice. We could only get pictures at the outside at the ranch because they were filming an episode.
Wow.
Right. No, they were filming they were actually filming, so we couldn't go in as tourists because they were filming, so we only have, like, pictures. Dietra and I grabbed us some dirt, and I have some pictures I post sometimes and the horses, petting the horses. The horses did come to the fence and let us pet them.
We didn't get to do that. I saw, I don't know if it were bison or horses.
Wow.
I know some kind of animals out there. They weren't giving tours of the inside of the house at that time. But we went back another time because Diane and I were working part-time at Frost Brothers.
Yes.
And International store was sponsoring some kind of event there for the Formula One race car drivers.
Yes.
And because they had Formula One race to come through Dallas that year. And I didn't realize how significant Formula One racing is, you know, how big it is all over the world. And as a sponsor of the Benetton vehicle for Italy, we were, as employees, were invited to attend the event out at Southport Ranch. So Diane, Michael Payne, and I went, and I got to take a picture beside the Formula One race car that whatever driver was driving. He probably was very well known, but we just didn't know about him.
Right.
And remember,
you have me Googling. You have me Googling the driver from back then, in the early 80s, mid.
Yeah, probably 84. 85, something like that, Formula One race car driver representing Italy.
Right.
And Ray Krebs was there. Steve Canale.
Oh, and, my goodness. You know, I think I remember that. I remember because you remember I was a big, who wasn't? But I was a big fan of his. So, oh, my God, I remember that.
And you know what? He looked just like an ordinary guy on the TV show, but he was extremely. He was extremely handsome in person.
Wow.
I was like, I didn't know Ray Krebs was that good looking. So if we have any Steve Canale fans out there, Ray Krebs was downright handsome and fine.
Wow. So that's why he had so many crazy. Now I see why he had so many little kids and teens like I back then at that time loved him. But now we see why so many women loved him now since you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was really nice looking. I was just surprised because a lot of times when you see celebrities in person, they don't look as good because they don't have all the makeup and stuff.
Right.
But he was very nice, and he was smiling and posing for pictures and everything. And I think he was the only cast member from Dallas that was there.
Oh.
He was the only one I saw.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was more so about the Formula One racing rather than the TV show, but it was that's just the venue where it was held was at Southport.
Because they were hot at the time. Both.
Oh, yeah. Have we lost connection, Bethany? I don't hear you.
Somewhere, because I didn't hear you and... Yeah, I don't think you could hear me, but we're back.
Okay.
Yes. So, you last week, you mentioned you would like for us to focus on the Delta variant.
Yeah, it has me concerned because we've kind of let our guards down. I still see people wearing masks, and a lot of young people, which I'm surprised, because I thought that they were thinking they didn't really need to be vaccinated. They may be vaccinated. I don't know. But a lot of them seem to have been rather carefree and were not taking precautions and everything. But when I go into Walmart, Dollar Tree, or 99-cent store, whatever, I do see a lot of people still wearing masks. And I'm concerned about the Delta variant because Dr. Fauci was saying that it's the nation's leading infectious disease right now, or, you know, one of the greatest threats or whatever in the coronavirus COVID-19 category. And we have decided to return things to normal, where people are in large gatherings and everybody is not vaccinated. And I think there is still the potential for the virus to spread.
Correct. Yes. And this morning, it's good you mentioned it about young people. This morning, Good Morning America focused on the topic of young people. Saying that a lot of young people had decided not to get vaccinated, and they didn't think it affect them.
Yeah, and I don't know where that information came from. Certain segments of the population here in the United States, for whatever reason, are saying don't get vaccinated. Now, I think I was telling you about the Children's Health Defense or whatever headed by Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yes.
Very, very anti-vaccination. And they have Marcus and Joni Lamb, who own Daystar Television Network, which is a religious network here.
Yes.
And they are telling people not to get the vaccine. So the vaccine is supposed to have all these real bad side effects, but it's not just the COVID-19 vaccination that has side effects. It's a lot of them. I mean, the flu vaccines have side effects, and people have died from the flu vaccines. Now, I personally don't take flu vaccinations because I don't feel I need them, because I've been blessed not to have ever had the flu. If I did, I didn't know it was the flu. And they just, sick as people get from the flu. I think if I had it, I would have known.
I had never had a flu vaccine until I worked when I was living in Texas, in Sherman, Texas, and worked at the Choctaw Casino in Durant. It was mandatory. It's mandatory at casinos to get vaccinations. So I had to get the flu and the pneumonia vaccinations when I was in the hospitality industry at a casino. It was mandatory if you wanted to keep your job, you know.
Did you have any adverse effects from the vaccination? I'm sorry, I didn't hear your answer.
Wait a second. But the sound went out. I hope this is the last time.
Okay, I was asking if you had any adverse side effects from the vaccination.
I never did, and then I did get a flu vaccination last September. Dr. Quinn and others, the CDC, Dr. Fauci, had, you know, they had pretty much recommended it. So I had gotten the flu vaccine, and I haven't been sick, but I'm like you. When I take care of myself, I rarely get anything past a cold or so, but I just want to be safe than sorry. So I end up not getting a cold or a flu. I had the sniffles once and I thought I was getting a cold, and one of my neighbors said, oh, that's just allergies. And so I'm like, oh, okay. So she gave me some Benadryl and it cured it. So thank God I have not been sick, and others too have not been sick with colds and flus and all. But you're right, if you haven't had anything like that, no need of getting one when you don't need it.
I don't get flu shots I was afraid of the side effects. I know people who've gotten them. A lot of people have had no problems at all, but I do know people who said they felt worse than having the flu after they got the flu vaccine. So
right.
That just always, you know, remained in my mind. I'd rather just take my chances on the flu, which they say is very deadly, but I don't know if anybody who's died from the flu, you know, I'm not saying that doesn't happen. It's just that I don't know of anybody who's had a case that severe. I do know people who've had it, and they were saying how sick they were, you know, didn't have any energy, couldn't even get out of bed.
We had a cousin die, like 2014, one of the Wansleys.
Who?
To die in like 2014. And that was when a crazy flu was going around. And to me, many of you probably remember, it was nationwide. It was like a really bad flu going around, and they didn't even have a name for it. They were looking for a name for this flu, even in Jackson and across the nation. And I'm wondering if that was some type of COVID. But one of our cousins passed away from the case of the flu. Like, I know it was like 2014.
I know that. Which cousin?
She and her husband was up preparing to go to their respective jobs. She had a cold, I don't even think it was the flu, because she wouldn't have been getting ready for work. It was just like a cold, and she died like that morning. when we're talking privately, I have to remind you'll know who I'm talking about. But she was a Wandsley. I think she worked for JPS. But we were just in the bedroom, like getting ready for work. Her husband rushed to her side. But she had been sick with a bad cold. Maybe she had just gotten over the flu. That might have been the situation. She had just gotten over the flu, and she was getting over the flu, but she was getting ready for work. So she must have been feeling good and didn't feel that it was contagious.
Well, I know they had I think H1N1 flu that was supposed to be so deadly and everything. That in 2014 may have been the year. No, I think H1N1 was before 2014. That was probably 2008 or 2009.
Crazy. Yeah, it was a crazy flu, because here at the Baptist and University Auto Hospitals, it was just crazy. Yeah. But my cousin, so you will remember, and you might say, well, I remember when she died, but I didn't know it was the flu. It was a bad cold flu situation.
Okay, I don't remember that at all. I don't think y'all probably didn't tell me.
I look right. The listeners are like, listen, look, you know, I would have told you, but sometimes I'm the last. You and I feel like the last to know in some cases. Other people feel like they're the last to know, but yeah, you might have heard of her passing, but maybe you didn't hear about what it was, because Mom and I was in shock, and my sister too. Like, she died from bad flu that was going around. And it was bad. It was all through the country, and it was bad here in Jackson. I think it was bad in Dallas, too. Yeah, you said you remember something, but you mentioned that N1. What was it, N1, N2? That was something.
H1N1. And the reason I remember H1N1, I had a real good friend and coworker, Phoebe, and she used to call it the flu that was the numbers, the alphabets and numbers flu.
The Delta variant. There are some states that are leading with COVID cases because of people that have been exposed to the Delta variant.
Mm-hmm.
There are states where they are requesting people still practice social distancing, start back wearing their mask, because cases are spiking because citizens have been exposed to the Delta variant.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm happy that, like I said, I had both of my vaccinations.
Me too.
And I still practice some social distancing. In some grocery stores, it's not required anymore.
Right.
And I haven't seen mandatory mask signs. But like I said, I still wear my mask, and I see a lot of customers with theirs on. And some of the employees have their mask on.
So the mayor, is it still a executive order, a mandate in the city of Dallas and in surrounding areas in your area?
Oh, you know, Governor Greg Abbott decided that we went, I forget what the date was, June the something, that there was no mask mandate in Dallas. Now, if businesses wanted to require their customers to purchase businesses, they could. But anything that was state or local government, you could not be forced to tell people to wear masks.
Okay.
A lot of people were happy about that, but I wasn't.
Right, because I remember seeing that was right before St. Patrick's Day. Yes, because I remember seeing a news story where people in Deep Ellum were celebrating St. Patrick's Day, and I did not see not one mask.
Mm-hmm. So I think we may have jumped the gun a little bit. That's just my personal opinion. I'm not in the medical field. I don't have any medical knowledge, you know. I'm from the old school. I believe in home remedies and things of that nature. and I don't really keep up on pharmaceuticals.
Right.
And
we grew up on remedies and holistic healing.
So when you start talking about putting something foreign in your body, I can understand the reluctance of a lot of people to get vaccinated, because this came on the market like lickety-split, whereas
right.
other vaccines and inoculations have taken years to develop. That was my main concern, was I thought it hit the market too quickly. But after seeing a lot of COVID cases go down and no new cases, I don't have a problem with it. Like I said, even though there have been people who died from it, you've got people who died from flu vaccinations.
Right. To me, it didn't hit the market quick enough, because I'm like, where's my what was it called? Quinolin? What was that? The other thing, the other...
Hydroxychloroquinone.
Yeah, I was like, where is mine? I was one of those people like, where's mine? I want mine.
Yeah, Donald Trump was the one that
right.
got it. I don't know anybody else who got it other than Donald Trump. But it worked for him.
Right. And I'm like, oh, goodness, where's mine? I want mine. But, yes, we have a Pfizer. I did some research right before broadcast. And Business Insider, I didn't get that pulled up so I can read from it, but I will post it. And those of you that like to read Business Insider, and even if you don't, they have the stats regarding different states that are leading with the Delta variant, Cousin Linda. And I know I've seen Missouri was one of the first states.
Mostly
so
southern states. And
be careful, and the other states. Hopefully before the end of broadcast, I can pull that list up. But I did go to Bing. Bing has a COVID tracker. And so you all can check out the COVID tracker on Bing. And Bing breaks it down into the vaccine doses that have been administered. Can you hear me, Cousin Linda?
Uh-huh.
Okay. They break it down for how many COVID vaccine doses have been administered worldwide, how many confirmed cases worldwide, active cases, they have no data, fatal cases. Globally, there are 186 cases in the United States, 33 million right now. And the doses that have been administered worldwide, 3 trillion, 192.
Wow.
I would love to have that much. Well, 3,192,698,685. I know the billionaires and trillionaires are saying, well, you will learn how to say that, but 3 trillion have been vaccinated, but they're still saying we are not, we more should be vaccinated here in the States and around the world.
And a lot of people in the States got that first vaccination and didn't go back for the second one.
And the president and others state that we need that second, and common sense. If it's a two-part shot, we need the second one. Common sense. Mm. The reports say that you're right, that some people believe just one shot is good enough.
But when you have people that you trust, especially people from the religious community telling you not to do it, and your favorite politician is telling you not to do it,
right.
you're going to listen to them.
Right. Well, the mask mandate is alive and well in the city of Jackson, but there have been people have started back. There was a big rap concert last night downtown outside, but thank God it was. Cousin Linda, thank God no acts of violence happened. It was called a tramcella, and they said it started by 9 and ended probably about 1 or 2. I had seen perforations downtown, so it was an outdoor concert. So I'm sure they wore their mask on the, but many people in Jackson, even though we're still under a city order, many people do not want to wear their mask and don't wear their mask. Mayor is very strict on us keeping our mask on. You've seen on my Facebook post, I'm friends with him, but he and his bodyguard had just left Starbucks, which is located next to Massage Envy, where I work. And so I tapped on the glass and begged for them to come in, and they came in. And Massage Envy, because we're in the city of Jackson, I guess, and we're health and wellness, we follow the city rules of making sure people have their mask on when they come in for service or just to ask a question or anything. The mailman must have a mask on when he walk in. So my managers even have a management statement at the door. If you have an issue with it, call the mayor's office. So when the mayor came in to talk with us, and I congratulated him on his reelection, and one of my managers up front with me and the two general managers in the office, and I told them, I said, someone is up front that you two might want to talk to. And they asked him the $64,000 question. Number one, they were nice to meet him, but when can we stop wearing the mask? Because I guess do not want to wear the mask. They come in here without the mask. We have to issue them one. And he stated that, I'm telling inside info. Well, he stated that he would like to announce, but he haven't announced that he would lax on it if we reach 50%. I said, I'm shocked that the city of Jackson haven't reached 50% of citizens that are vaccinated.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't have a problem with the mask, not at all, because definitely they say you do not need one when you're outside. But when I go walking through my apartment complex,
right,
I have a mask on to keep from inhaling the stinky garbage from the dumpsters. I don't know what days the garbage trucks come by, but sometimes the dumpsters are overflowing, and it smells. And I have the mask on for that reason. I don't want to inhale those funky fumes.
Right. Right. But I see many gatherings and people not wearing masks at businesses and people having barbecues within the city limits. So, and we had one guest that tickled me. I hope it's okay for me to discuss this on Friday. One guest, he mentioned to me right before he walked out the door, he said, don't you all know you all are the only ones wearing masks in Jackson? Don't nobody wear the mask anymore. I'm like, wait, it's still the law. I'm like, it's still the law.
So we
have to follow the law.
You know, I don't understand why there was such negativity toward masks. You can't smoke in certain places. You know, businesses used to allow certain areas in the front of a building, the side of a building, or whatever, for employees to smoke. And then all of a sudden, you can't smoke anywhere on the premises, and people don't have a problem with it. They don't have a problem with wearing seat belts. And I love to iron my clothes. But the minute I get in the car and you know, buckle my seat belt, I'm like, well, here go my clothes getting wrinkled. It was a waste of time pretty much ironing them, because when I get to wherever, you know, as soon as you buckle that seat belt, your clothes are wrinkled. But I don't hear people complaining about seat belts. It's like, you're going to have to do it. And in places where motorcycle helmets are required, they wear motorcycle helmets. So what is the problem? See, we have been conditioned to be anti-something. And so in this case, it was a certain segment of the population that said, you don't have to wear a mask. They're infringing on your civil rights, which is not a civil right. It's a health issue. And even if you feel like you don't need it, you may be carrying the virus and not know it. But with that mask, at least you can be, I can't think of the word, but maybe you won't expose somebody else to your virus. You know, just something simple by wearing a mask. Now, and people were talking about the mask were too tight. What about one that's larger? I have some cloth masks that I ordered, and yeah, they are tight. But when it became, you know, masks became available, because at first there was a shortage on them, and the only ones I could get were these cloth ones. And so when the other ones, the paper ones, started appearing on the market, well, I just loaded up. And in fact, now I have way more masks than I need. But I bought some bigger ones and some that fit better. So I just don't understand, you know, when people were throwing groceries on the floor in the grocery store and throwing tantrums, acting worse than anybody's spoiled child. But it was something that was accepted.
Right.
And people in some other countries have been wearing masks for years because of air pollution. The quality of air was not as good. You know, they had a lot of smog.
And we know that their pollution is bad in a lot of cities, places we least expect in America, too.
Right. Yeah, people who live near, I guess, landfills, chemical plants, and some of those fumes or whatever escape into the atmosphere, and it's not healthy to breathe them. And people who do construction when there is asbestos or lead in the building or whatever that they're working in, they have to wear masks for protection. So I thought it was just a lot of, you know, as the saying goes, much ado about nothing. But they found out, well, I can get on TV if I act a fool, if I go in the grocery store and throw everything on the garbage, I mean on the floor, or if I yell and scream, and if I attack an employee because I don't want to wear a mask, I'll get some attention. I'll be on national TV.
Right.
That's the only reason I think of it, because it was not that. To me, it just was not that much of an inconvenience.
Because in recent months, I've seen where I think a guy was murdered that worked at a Family Dollar because he asked a customer to put the mask on.
Yes, lost his life over recently,
like,
very, very recently.
Yeah, this was a recent, I've heard of some cases similar, like early on, but this was like in recent months, right?
Recent weeks.
In recent months, where a worker. When?
This was about 3 weeks ago, I think, Beth.
Yeah, okay. I thought so. I wanted to say, like within the past month, but I'm like, okay, maybe not. But I thought so.
Yeah,
like a really nice guy, like a really beloved guy that worked at the Family Dollar, too.
Mm-hmm.
We must Google that, because I don't want to get the information wrong, but you heard it too, and you've seen, you probably posted the story.
Yeah, it was on national news.
Well, when I look at the stats regarding COVID cases, India leads, and when I first mentioned it, I was concerned about how worded that we would talk about the Delta variant when you and I are big fans and lovers of Indian culture and people. But we also felt that the Delta variant and what's going on in India need more attention so they can get the help that they need also in that country. And it would make the love here feel better. Even Dr. Oz. Yes.
Okay, Family Dollar security guard killed after telling shopper to wear a mask. That was last year. But cashier killed in supermarket for telling man to wear a mask June 14th, 2021. And it said it was Big Bear Supermarket in DeKalb. So it wasn't Family Dollar. Family Dollar was last year. That's probably why you're thinking some months ago, Family Dollar, May 4th, 2020. And the cashier was killed June 14th, 2021.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was a reason. And that's in Georgia, right? And that's in Georgia, isn't it?
Yes, DeKalb.
Because that's what I was thinking, Georgia.
Yeah,
because that's what I thought. It seemed like it was in Georgia. And last year was Family Dollar. Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
DeKalb, Georgia. And, you know, I think that person probably just felt like killing somebody that day because that was certainly no reason to kill an innocent employee, somebody who's just following company policy.
Right. I have heard of people having burn mass parties. Where they have a party, a bunch of them gather together and they burn the mask. I guess they have like drinks and good food and they burn the mask.
Well, last year I saw a lady in Las Vegas who said that the kids were having COVID parties in the desert to see who would come down with COVID first.
Now, see, that's sad. And Vegas area is the same area where the kids had the highest rate of suicide for because they couldn't take being quarantined. So then having COVID parties.
To see who would get it first. They didn't think it was real.
Many athletes from that area, I know, and some non-athletic students too, had been committing suicide too in that area. And so, oh my God, to hear them having COVID parties too. I'm speechless.
But are we going to discuss Bill Cosby?
Yes. So let me mention the top 11 countries where COVID is alive and well, and we need to pray for these countries. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I definitely need to replace these headphones before our next episode. India's number one. We discuss Brazil often. Brazil is number two. France, number three. Russia, and shout out to the listeners in Russia. Number four, Turkey. And that's where Dr. Oz is from, and that's where his mom is. And I think he announced recently his mom had a case of it, and even Dr. Oz can't even go to see his mom, Dr. Oz, who helped everybody. So I hope his mom is doing pretty good now and recovering. UK, number six, making sure you can hear me and the listeners.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Argentina, number seven. Colombia, number eight. Italy, number nine. Spain, number 10, and Germany, number 11. Those are the top spots in the world where COVID is alive and well, and we have to work on that. And if you go to the COVID tracker on Bing, you can see all the stats, all the numbers. And visit vaccines.gov, U.S. resources, cdc.gov, as you all know, vaccinefinder.org, definitely. And also, Oakland Zoo have started an experimental vaccine on their animals. So they're vaccinating all the animals at the Oakland Zoo. None of them have had COVID, but, you know, they want to try out this vaccine on the animals.
So we can transmit it to animals?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember, the Pittsburgh Zoo. Was that the Pittsburgh Zoo last year where one of the big cats, had COVID and they nipped it in the bud and healed her and I think saved the others from catching it from her. I don't know what they did, but it was an experimental vaccine also. It might have been I don't know. I won't say. I don't know what it was, but it healed her. And I think that was before us. That was before humans. Most of us received it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But, yes, Oakland Zoo is administering to their animals. But, yes, when I heard of the release of Bill Cosby, I thought of you. Because I remembered early on you had your thoughts regarding this case. So what are your thoughts?
I'm shocked that Bill Cosby was released. I feel personally that he is guilty and that he should have served at least the minimum amount of time. I don't care if it was a technicality. Because I heard Bill Cosby on this album, even though supposedly he was joking when he said you drug the women and then you rape them or, you know, drug them and take advantage of them. I forgot exactly what the exact words were. Yeah, I think this was in the 60s when he was first becoming very popular. Yeah, I listened to it on YouTube.
And the way he used to get on Eddie Murphy when he was new.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, there's an expression that says, beware of the dog that brings the bone. Yeah, when somebody is telling you something and criticizing another person, you have to kind of look at, well, what are you doing? You know, you are not necessarily innocent. You got something that makes you less than perfect. But Bill Cosby actually was telling jokes, because unless they've taken it down from YouTube, which I don't think they have, he actually was saying that you give these women drugs and then you can take advantage of them sexually.
Wow, and that was before he was... That was before he became billionaire Bill Cosby.
Oh,
wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe these women, not all of them, I guess I can call a name. I didn't believe Janice Dickinson.
I've been a long-time supporter of her, and so I was surprised that she recanted her statement.
Well, I'm not, because even before she recanted, some guy that they were interviewing on TV had said Janice Dickinson will show up at the opening of a door, meaning she'd do anything for publicity. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Uh-huh. But some of these women,
When Beverly Johnson, was it Beverly Johnson?
Yes.
When Beverly Johnson came out, I raised an eyebrow.
I did too, and I still don't believe her. I think she recanted too, didn't she? Yeah, I think she said that she was lying, but I believe those other women.
What do you think about some of the people that said it's just a way of America lynching, modern day lynching? What do you think about people that he shouldn't have gone in the first place and believe it was just a way of a form of modern day lynching? Asian man.
We use the term lynching too loosely. Lynching was a very, very, very brutal way to kill a person. And for people listening around the world who don't know what lynching is, that's when they string you up from a tree by a rope. And a lot of times black men were castrated, and then their penises were put in their mouths. Lynchings were public events held in public squares. They would set the person's body on fire, and they brought children to these events. You know, you're talking about 4th of July celebrations. Lynchings
right.
were celebrations in this country. So I don't want to use the term lynching on Bill Cosby, because that just took away the severity of the word lynching. Now,
mm-hmm.
I do think that he has privilege that a lot of people don't have, because he has money. So his lawyers could continue to fight for his release. But then there are so many other people who don't have that advantage. People have been falsely
right.
accused of rape and have been in prison for I don't know how long. And then I remember
right.
when women, and a lot of to this day, women are afraid or ashamed to report rape, because when you got to the courtroom, the woman became the perpetrator. She was dressed provocatively. And you've heard me say before that former Jackson, Mississippi District Attorney Ed Peters has said,
oh,
a prostitute has the right to say no. I don't care how
right.
you are dressed. You know, no man
right.
has the right to brutally violate your body. And then when you
right.
look at it, men have raped
men
babies. They've raped 95-year-old women. So you can't say
right.
that it's the way she was dressed or she was asking for it, she wanted it. And men have just been able to get away. But then we look at who writes the laws, men.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned
so
that, because next Sunday we should talk about our checkered past and what we're dealing with during this pandemic. Also, violence in America. Well,
it's
against,
embarrassing to me. The rest
right.
of the world is saying, you know, what kind of society, what civilized society is acting like that?
Right. So next Sunday we'll discuss that, and I'll invite a policing expert that's a friend to the show on next Sunday to talk with us too about violence in America and the relationship between it's so unisex now, it's so non-gender now, but it was a man of position of power. And I'm a big, all of us have been fans of Bill Cosby, most of us, but I've been speechless since the beginning. What about the people that say, well, why didn't they say something earlier? Why they didn't say something at the time? You just mentioned that, but why did so many come forward in one particular window of time?
Because there's safety in numbers. Because
right.
somebody.
And Gloria's all red.
Yes, somebody finally had the nerve to come forward. And then I guess the other people said, well, if she's coming forward, I feel like I can say something too, because rape goes unreported because
right.
of the way women have been treated in the past. I mean, look at our military. How many people have been raped in the military, and the superiors don't
yeah.
do anything about it. They punish the victim.
Wow. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. So is the show still going, or has the time run out? Hello?
I'm here. I went out, but I could hear you, and the listeners could hear you. But my headphone went out. I definitely have a pair of new headphones for next broadcast.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I can hear you, and so the listeners can hear you. That's what's important. Yes. Wow. So we haven't heard. Have his wife said anything yet? I wonder what her statement was.
What I don't understand is why wasn't she at home when he arrived?
Right. When they said he was making an announcement. Oh my God. You're right. I'm talking about. I was surprised. She might have been out of town, out of state.
Well, I don't know where I remember where they said she was at the time, but surely a phone call could have been made. But she has she stuck by him through the entire ordeal, which is more than I would have.
More
than I would.
Well, right before our broadcast came on, I heard on Black Information Radio Network with Roland Martin that his co-star Felicia Rashad had to apologize to her students. She's a professor at Howard. She's a professor at Howard University, right? And some of her students took her cheering and praises not in a so good way.
Right, because she came out immediately and acted like this was a good thing to happen, that he had gotten released.
Right. I remember hearing that. And so I didn't know anything about she had to go back and apologize until right before our show came on.
Yes, I saw that on the news, and I saw it online as well.
Right.
Yeah, she should have waited or should have thought more carefully about what she was going to say. And I know something else we can discuss next week. Sha'Carri, whatever her name is, the Olympic athlete that was disqualified for smoking marijuana.
Yes, they said they found traces of THC in her system. And she admitted that she smoked weed because she lost her mother. Is her mother sick, or she lost her mom?
I read she lost her mother.
She said that she's grieving. She said that she's grieving, and she smoked weed to relax her. But when you know you are an Olympian, mom would want you to be in the Olympics. You know, and you all know how I am about. You know how Linda and I are about our late mothers, so we definitely understand. But also, you know, you're an Olympian.
People breathe differently, and you don't know how death is going to affect you. But when you have certain rules to obey, you have to obey the rules or not participate. And everybody was jumping on this bandwagon about, marijuana is legal in just about half of the states, and you can get this and it's okay. And that might be true. But if the IOC says you can't have any kind of controlled substance in your body, whether it's an enhancement drug or whatever, you can't do it. But now, I didn't understand grief and loss until I actually, like you said, lost my mother and I lost Henri first.
Right.
But
right.
I had read where a very well-known singer started taking heroin. He became a heroin addict after his father died. That was the strangest, craziest thing to me. I could not understand that. And another well-known celebrity got hooked on drugs after the death of his daughter. And that didn't make sense to me. But now, when my dog died, I mean, that was super traumatic. You do want to go out and do something foolish, because one of my coworkers at the time, when Henri died, she said, don't go out and do anything rash. And I said, what do you mean? She said, just don't do anything rash. And I just felt like I should be punished some kind of way. I don't know how, but I should be punished. And then when my mother passed, you know, I was in such a state of shock when I got that phone call. And you just don't know what you're going to do or how you're going to act. But as an athlete, flying out for the Olympics, I don't know. Maybe she should have withdrawn from the Olympics.
Yeah, maybe she should have, taken a break while I can't participate this time around because I'm still grieving.
Right.
Good point.
Naomi Osaka, the tennis player.
Right.
Yeah, that was saying that she was going through depression and she withdrew from whatever tennis event it was. You know, you can understand things like that.
Right, because it's mandatory for her to do press conferences. And she's like, my well-being is more important. I can't do press conferences. And so I just can't be in it. I'm not going to do press conferences.
Right. So I think that Sha'Carri, whatever, if, you know, her mother's death affected her that way, I think she just should have withdrawn. I know you want to be an Olympic champion. You want to bring home the gold. I can understand that. But I don't think that you should resort to marijuana. And then they bring up Michael Phelps and all that. This was after Michael Phelps had completed his stint with the Olympics or whatever.
Right. All right.
And two wrongs don't make a right. I don't care if so-and-so, whoever, was caught doing drugs. I mean, look at Lance Armstrong. And I used to love me some Lance Armstrong.
Oh, my goodness. Mom and I, we love him. Yeah, late mom. Mm-hmm. Your late aunt loved him, too. And, we were just so hurt.
Mm-hmm. I was, too. And I was so excited when he and Cheryl Crow
got engaged. And her to find out what he was dealing with. And then could feel him, you know, his hurt, what he had been struggling with. Struggles that we don't know people deal with.
Right. But I just could not believe that he was taking performance enhancement drugs. No, not Lance Armstrong. No, he wouldn't do that. But, I mean, sooner or later, that kind of stuff is going to come out. And I tell you somebody else. Johnson, the guy that raced for Jamaica. What was his name?
I can see him in my head.
And I can't believe I can't remember his name because he outran Carl Lewis.
I can't believe it either because I can see him, a vision of him running in his red. He wore red. And he wore red even when he went to the Olympics. He loved red.
I was watching.
I know exactly what you're talking about. We'll get to Google him.
I was watching one of the races, and he just left Carl Lewis in the dust.
Right.
It never occurred to me that he was on performance enhancement drugs. And that was so unfair to Carl Lewis.
Right. This shocked me when the Saints and a couple other players in the league like 10 years ago, you know, got in trouble for enhancement drugs. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Right. But the things people feel they must do to stay on top are to be that 100%.
Yeah, you don't see Simone Biles taking anything. She practices.
Right, yay. Right. Yay, she's doing it. She's going. Shout out to the Wimbledon watchers because it's on my TV now. The volume's turned down. So I meant to say something at the beginning of the show. But, yeah, she's doing it. She's going to take over, I'm quite sure.
Yeah.
When it's Olympic time.
She's breaking records, doing things that no other human has ever done.
Right. So you mentioned we should discuss that also. When athletes are caught with enhancement drugs that they shouldn't have in their bodies.
Yeah, if you have to cheat You know, it's not fair to the person that loses to you, because you've robbed them of perhaps a gold medal.
Correct. Well, since you brought up that topic, I know the governor of the state of Mississippi, a few months ago, he signed a bill stating that naturally born males, trans girls trans women students cannot compete in girls' sports.
Yeah, I think that.
And I believe the president signed a similar bill too, right? I think the president signed a similar bill. So what are your thoughts about that?
I didn't know.
Females that were born male competing in girls' sports, like running track and basketball and all that.
Well, I think if you were a male and you have transitioned, is the correct word, to a female.
Right.
If you are now a female, why can't you participate in female sports? Because getting, and this is just purely off the top of my head, I have no idea about the medical
we share our opinions.
yes. If you,
we do a lot of research, but we share our opinions.
You got to give that disclaimer. If you were a male and you've taken the hormones to become a female, and you've had the surgery and you now are a female, why can't you compete in female sports and vice versa? I don't think that you have any advantage on female just because you are now a female. I mean, to me, female is female. I just don't see where you have, like I said, any advantage over a person who was born female.
Mm-hmm.
And that's strictly personal opinion. So I think that is something that, you know, the issue is something that's popular among certain political parties. And
I hear you, Lynn.
Well, it is. It is,
right?
You know, and they have to keep something going to divide people. It's same thing with, you know, going to certain restrooms and what have you. Well, I don't think that, you know, he thinks he's a woman, so I don't think he should be allowed to go to the women's restroom. Well, I don't know if you remember the Stork Club here in Dallas. When they had unisex restrooms, and unisex restrooms became popular across the country.
Why?
Nobody has.
I do remember
that. Yeah, you know, unisex restrooms. And if you're that uncomfortable, well, don't use it. Wait till you get home or go somewhere else. I think we like to create controversy for the sake of creating controversy.
Silence.
I don't know. Okay.
There we are. You might can hear the birds too in the background. They decided to get loud, but I have the headphones on. Maybe you can't hear them with the headphones on.
I hear them.
Oh, those are the love birds.
I thought somebody was there scratching a record. I didn't know if you had a little rap artist in the background. Little Chi Chi or whoever. Everybody's little something now.
Everybody what?
Lil Wayne. I said everybody's little something. Lil Kim, Lil Romeo, Lil Wayne.
Right. But, yeah, those are good points, because I'm like, okay, I agree with you, but then some cases I'm like, okay, that's a good point. But you're right, when you transition.
Yeah, if you're a female, I don't get it. Like I said, other than the fact that people want to be anti-something, the left is just too far out. So we're going to be against that. We're not going to agree with it. We're going to make it be something bad. Just like with COVID. I told you, you know, there were a lot of ministers who were saying, don't get the vaccine. Don't wear a mask. And that's
right.
Why a lot of people aren't doing it, because that's what their minister told them to do. Don't get a mask. You know, hate Democrats.
Some churches, there are churches that never stopped. There are some churches that never did stop during COVID. You know, there are some pastors that did get in trouble or did get arrested, but there are some that didn't have any, you know, they just kept on. But I guess they followed the I assume they followed the CDC guidelines of social distancing and masks and having sanitizer at the doorway.
Yeah. As soon as you tell somebody, well, you can't do this, they want to make an issue out of it. Well, why can't I? Well, you know, it's for the good of the public, or it's for your good, but you can't tell me what I can't do, because somehow in America, some people think that land of the free means I can do just whatever I want to do, no matter how ridiculous it is.
Like some people feel when they're on Bourbon Street. You're in New Orleans, some people feel like when we're there on Bourbon Street, they cannot get in trouble. But Bourbon Street, you still can get in trouble. Right.
Yes, you can. Yes. Now, that to me used to be a free-for-all, just whatever. Because, you know, in Jackson, New Orleans, and Bourbon Street especially, was the place where the class picnic was held, or where we would go for the class picnic.
Uh-huh.
And usually when you were in the eighth grade, New Orleans was the destination for the end-of-the-year school picnic.
Right.
And New Orleans was just wide open. Anything, as they say,
anything
goes.
New Orleans is a baby. That was my first family trip. The only family trip I took with Ned. New Orleans is a hip baby. I naturally fell in love with New Orleans as a baby. And then what were you saying?
I fell in love with New Orleans from listening to people talk about New Orleans. And the first time I went, I was in eighth grade, 13, and I had heard that children could go in the liquor stores and buy liquor and buy wine, and that there were rhinos who were sleeping on the sidewalks, and there's this huge cathedral in the middle of the French Quarter, you know, surrounded by all this quote-unquote sin.
All that sin.
Yes, and just seeing it as a child blew my mind, because, you know, we didn't have anything like that in Jackson. And at that time, we didn't even have liquor stores. So, you know, I heard that children could go into the liquor store and purchase alcohol, and I didn't believe it. But, of course, we tried it, and not me personally. But I know people who did go in and buy wine and sneaked it on the bus on the way back home, and some folks got drunk. But, I mean, New Orleans was just wide open. And then when I went down there as an adult, yeah, some of the things that I saw on Bourbon Street I had not been exposed to.
Right.
And it was just a big surprise, but now some of that has changed. You know, everything that they used to do, they don't do it anymore.
Right.
And for one thing, New Orleans has gotten so dangerous.
Right, because I used to drive down there. Mom would allow me to drive down there by myself and come on back. But, ooh, you can't go on a day trip now. Yeah.
You can
not recommend.
You've got to really know what you're doing.
Even Jackson going there and coming back, I mean, my God.
I remember when I used to drive down there when I got my second car, and that was the big thing for me, was to drive to New Orleans. And my mother begged me not to drive down there. She said, "Darling, they just drive so crazy. Please don't go to New Orleans." And I said, yeah, I feel like I can drive down there. The thing that tickled me, nobody observed traffic laws. You know, stop signs don't stop. They don't even mean, at this time, that didn't even mean, you know, you kind of hesitate. You still stop sign, you just keep going. And red lights did not mean stop. And I saw what my mama was talking about because, you know, she had been to New Orleans a jillion times and she knew how crazy they drive. And so this particular weekend, three of my friends and I went down there. I drove. And we just happened to run across one of my other friends, Luella, and she and some of her friends had driven down, and Luella drove, and we just couldn't stop laughing. We were talking about how crazy the people drove, and she said, and then when you stop at a red light, people behind you be blowing and honking their horns because they don't want you to stop for the red light. They just want you to keep going. Like, yeah, that'll cause wrecks. And then in on Bourbon Street, there were signs that say, do not park on the sidewalk. And there were all these cars up on the sidewalk. So I parked on the sidewalk, too. You know, it was kind of like, we don't obey laws in New Orleans. You just do whatever you want to do. People were sleeping in the park. Because I had friends who would go down and spend the night. They didn't dream of getting a hotel. They would just sleep in the park, in the park.
Oh, I, friends and I have done that before, like New Year's Eve. You know, we're like, let's go to New Orleans. And then we didn't think about, uh-oh, we won't be able to get a room.
So y'all slept in the park, too?
In the car, or just partied all night. Just partying. Like, wait a second. That was some idea, just a spur of the moment. Let's go to New Orleans.
You know, we would go down on spur of the moment because that was one thing I liked about Jackson. It was so close.
To go when you know, then you can't, New Year's Eve, doing a Mardi Gras, you can't get a hotel.
Now, what I liked about living
last
Jackson,
minute.
Yeah, Jackson was centrally located. You know, it was in between Memphis and in between New Orleans and not too far from Atlanta. Because I know when I was married, Glenn and I could do a few-hour trip, talking about a day trip. You just zoom down to New Orleans and you could do everything under the sun and leave about midnight. You know, it didn't take long to get back to Jackson. But, I kind of think twice now about going to New Orleans because it is very dangerous now.
It is. It is. But you did go a few years ago, and like each time I plan to go, something happens where I don't go. But I loved your pictures when you traveled there like 3 years ago.
Yeah, 2018, I think. Yeah, 2018. Yeah, Laverne and I went to Mardi Gras, and Herb, who lives there, came and, you know, picked me up at the airport and everything, and I felt pretty safe with him, and there were a lot of police officers there, but, and I didn't feel too fearful because it was Mardi Gras, and I knew that there was a huge police presence.
Security, police presence, undercovers, and everything.
Yeah, because the hotel where I was staying, they put little wristbands on, rather, and you couldn't enter that hotel without showing your wristband. And they gave me some wristbands for my guests, which guests had one color, and the people who were staying at the hotel had wristbands that were another color. And so I got a guest band for my friend, and I got one for Laverne, but she didn't come down there. But I know my friend that was coming down there to see me, he was pretending that he didn't have a band. He was trying to get past security, and he just jokingly said he didn't have a band, and security was about to attack him. And he said, I was just joking.
Goodness.
I was joking. They were like, no, man, you don't joke about nothing like that, because they took security very seriously.
They were like, you're not coming in here.
And I mean,
that sounds like
big guy.
Yeah, that was celebrity type, high-end, upscale security.
Yeah,
cause
very
I know,
much
I,
so.
Right, because I remember when my late friend Chris Neal and I went to see Janet Jackson in Birmingham, and we so happened stayed in the same hotel that Miss Jackson stayed in, and the same floor, how ironic. But you had to be a guest of that hotel. They issued us bands. You know, that was where Janet Jackson was staying. We had to have bands. If you didn't have a band, you couldn't get in. Mm. They didn't care who you were. Signature or who. You're not coming in here if you don't have the band. Miss Jackson is in here.
Exactly. And these guys were not playing. You know, my friend thought it was, I guess he thought it was cute to try to play a joke or something.
Oh, my goodness. I guess that you were about to get hurt.
They were about to hurt him. They meant business. You're not coming in here. Because they had seen me on several occasions. You know, I didn't even have to show my band because they knew.
You were at home.
They had
you were at home.
Yeah. Yeah. They knew, okay, she's a
registered
guest.
Was at home.
I would be trying to show them my band. That's okay. Come on in. Come on. And then here he come and gonna pretend he didn't have no band. It was like, oh, no. They blocked him. He was about to get beat down. I don't think he realized it, but yeah, he was about to get beat down.
Oh, I'm so glad he had it, because what if he really couldn't find it? Oh, my God.
Yeah, he'd have been kicked out, probably thrown
out on
Bourbon Street.
Yeah, I know you look like you were comfortable. Yes. And, wow. I would ask which hotel, but when you go back, that might be your choice next time, so nobody.
It was Royal Sonesta.
Yes.
Royal Sonesta on Bourbon Street.
The premier place. Oh,
yes. You know I like traveling in luxury.
Exactly. And I can't wait till we eat that $1,000 steak. I'm just waiting to eat those $1,000 steaks.
Well, as soon as I get a whole bunch of money, we're going to go down there and eat that $1,000 steak.
And I might treat you. Yes.
Hey. Okay.
Hey. Look, I'm trying to make this manifest like real soon. We both are.
Yes indeed.
Yeah, I know the hamburgers are delicious, but I would love a steak.
Me too.
I bet it's never had before. $1,000 steak.
Mm-hmm. With gold on it.
Oh, you didn't tell me that part.
I thought you knew.
I wonder why it was $1,000. That's why I asked what type of meat is that?
No, it's the gold. It's coated in gold.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to have to figure out a way how to save a piece of that. Wow. I know.
I thought you knew. Because I remember.
Yes, I did say that. And I'm probably not the only one.
What?
Right. I'm like, I know listeners are like, no, she didn't with her country butt. But look, I know I'm not the only one that say that.
Yeah, the first time I saw people eating gold, I think it was in Hong Kong that I saw on TV. You know, it made the news because they were having these very expensive cocktails, and they were showing how they would sprinkle little bits of gold into the cocktail, or they were showing certain dishes. I don't know if it was ice cream or what, but they were actually sprinkling 24-karat gold flakes on the food, and I was saying, I don't really want to consume gold. I thought that would kill you. And then here comes Salt Bae with a whole steak that's coated in gold. That's
I believe in the Lord, and I believe in the law of attraction. So eat that delicious gold and then attract gold and prosperity and abundance.
Look, I think I might get I have to get my abundance and prosperity before the gold stakes.
Right. Oh, you make a good point, because we need the prosperity and abundance before we even get the...
Yeah.
Now, you need us to review your... And what's his name? What's his name again? If you need review your dishes and talk about it on the podcast and write about it, definitely look us up. Contact Cousin Linda.
Yeah. I did a review on
TripAdvisor.
Yeah, but you know, they have a $300 hamburger, because you can get a gold hamburger.
Oh!
Yeah, for just $300, because when I went, because I had read online in one of the reviews where somebody was saying they ordered a hamburger and the server brought them the $300, it's called a Newsret burger, and the waiter brought them a $300 Newsret burger, and that's not what they ordered. So when I went, I made sure, I said, look, I don't want the Newsret, but I want the regular plain, I want the plain $25 hamburger. And the server said, $25 hamburger? Who told you we had hamburgers that cost $25? And I said, well, that's what I saw online, because I didn't look at the menu. I couldn't see it. My glasses weren't strong enough. And so my friends were, the hamburger is $30. And the server said, yeah, the hamburger is $30. And I said, oh, okay, well, I want the $30 hamburger. I do not want a $90 hamburger.
He was like, you better add another slide to that.
He said, who told you hamburgers were $25? I said, that's what I saw online. He said,
every penny of that $30.
Mm-hmm. So we had $30 hamburgers. And I guess you and I will go down there. I'll let you treat me to the $1,000 steak.
Wouldn't that be funny if that happens? Like, oh my goodness, it happened.
Yeah.
So you all gonna listen. We're thinking positive thinking. Like Zig Ziglar, who's from Mississippi and lived in Dallas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
See you at the top.
Yeah. The power of positive thinking. I'm gonna think real positive.
Right.
We're going to Newsret, and we're going to have the $1,000 steak.
Yes, we speak it into existence soon.
Yeah.
Dubai, you tickle me about, speaking of expensive menus, you tickle me when you was in Dubai, and what was it, the caviar was
$800? $800 a gram, not a whole can or a few ounces.
Oh, wow.
A gram. And somebody said that's about a tablespoon full.
Oh, my God. I'm thinking a serving. So it was the gram. Wow.
A gram. So
$800.
Yeah.
And I know you like caviar.
I do. And he said, madam, it's Iranian caviar, the best in the world. Uh-huh, and that's when I started cussing. I said, I don't give a damn if it is the best in the world. I said, I ain't paying $800 a gram for it. So, and I didn't mean to, but, you know, I was just so shocked because I was ordering it. I ordered it first and then stupidly asked how much. Well, I won't say stupid, because it's a good thing I did ask how much.
Good,
you know.
You asked. Yes.
Yeah, I should have said, how much is the caviar? And then he would have said $800 a gram, and I would have said, oh, that's okay. But no, I was saying, Laverne, if I order caviar, will you help me eat it? Because I thought a gram was a whole lot. And that was the only way they were selling it. You know, the smallest amount you could get was a gram. And I just thought, for some reason,
if a gram was 800, how much was like a serving, like an average serving?
Well, that's what I want to know.
I thought it was for a serving. Wow.
Well, I guess that tablespoon, well, you know, you put like a little tablespoonful on a cracker.
Right.
Yeah, and so I guess that is a serving. I thank God that I asked.
Right.
You know, few extra dollars.
Why?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And thank God, Laverne, I'm so happy Laverne said she didn't like caviar. And I said, well, I can't eat that much by myself. How much is
it? And not knowing that that much is just one little cracker service.
Oh my goodness.
800.
See, I got in trouble with the truffles because I forget. I know truffles cost $40, but I forget how much. I think it was like one little shaving or whatever of white truffle. And
yes.
I let him put a bunch of white truffle shavings on my little dish. And I think the truffles came to about $120 for a few shavings.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I got that out of my system. That's something I don't have to want to do anymore. You know how, you know, people say bucket list. I never say bucket list. It's just things that I want to do. And I wanted to
right.
eat at that restaurant.
I don't
restaurant.
Say bucket list either. I don't know why. I just don't. I don't feel saying
bucket list.
Those that say bucket list, yeah. Because one of my former managers said it's on her bucket list. She would like to travel to Hawaii with me. So we could make a girls trip and make that happen. You and her and your girls, and go to Hawaii. But bucket list. I guess I don't want to see my demise or something.
Yeah, that's me, definitely.
I don't ever want to kick the bucket, number one.
Right. I'm like, that sounds so terminal. Okay, I've done these four things, and so now that's it. Mm-mm. No, I have things to do after that. I there's something else I want to do.
Right, I don't want to kick the bucket. Like, any, I don't want to think about kicking the bucket.
That's too finite. Right. That, to me, that sounds like people with terminal diseases or something, and they got to do something before they die.
And
no,
talking about
manifestation,
don't want to manifest that anytime soon. The list goes
no.
right.
No. What, have you ever gone parasailing?
I've gone, no, and I know you have. I've seen those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't want to jump out of an airplane.
And people parasail here on the reservoir, and I assume in Biloxi too. But at the reservoir, people parasail, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
You can't pay me enough money to parasail on the reservoir, because in case you get dropped in the water, you subject to be eaten by an alligator.
Right.
I'm afraid of the Ross Barnett Reservoir now, because they got too many alligators going around up there to me.
That's a good point. So I need to check on that and see, because you're right. That's
you
yeah,
know,
you're right.
They dropped me in the water when I was parasailing in Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
He dropped me in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Wow, did you do it naturally? How did you feel when you were parasailing? How did you feel when you were parasailing?
I loved parasailing. It was very nice. You know, you get to be way up in the air and you get to look down. And I think he dropped me in the water on purpose.
Oh.
I really
did. I thought you dropped you. They were part of it. But you mean he dropped you?
Yeah. Because
it was part of it. Oh.
No,
wow.
That was not part of it. No,
oh, my
ma'am.
Goodness.
No.
Did you parasail again? I definitely wouldn't. Mm. Oh.
Because I was the last one to go up. There were two couples. It may have been three couples, and they went up together. And I went up by myself. And nobody else was in the water, but I was the last one to go up, and I was the one that got dropped in the water behind the propeller on the boat. I think he was trying to kill me. I really and truly think he was trying to kill me.
Wonder, oh my goodness, did you say, did you realize at the time and report it or anything?
I realized that I didn't say anything to him because I wanted to get my feet back on solid ground safely.
Right. Did you ever parasail again? I would have been through.
No. No, I didn't.
Wow. You asked me if I ever parasail. Well, I don't think after hearing that, I don't think I will. I was considering thinking about it, but no. I have to think of something else adventurous to do. Wow. Wow, that sounds crazy. I thought you meant that that was part of it. Wow.
No, ma'am, that was not part of it. He was supposed to bring me safely back to the boat like he did everybody else.
Oh, did the other? I know the others noticed. Did they?
Yeah,
did they say,
no,
wow?
They didn't say, no, they were Asian people. I think they were tourists, but they were Asian, and I was the only black person.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't want to just. Are we still on the air?
Yeah, we're still on the air. We have 17 minutes of talking live.
I don't want to say he discriminated against me, but he was white. It was two guys, but both of them were white. They were the ones, you know, who were conducting the tour, whatever you want to call it. One was driving the boat, and the other one was responsible for letting you go up in the air and pull you back down.
Mm-hmm.
And those couples went up safely and came back down on the boat safely. I went up fine, and I stayed up fine. But when it was time for me to get back into the boat, for him to pull me back to the boat, I miraculously, unmiraculously, fell into the water. And I was scared. And then when he started reeling me in, like I said, it was at the rear of the boat by the propeller.
Oh, my goodness. That is scary.
I guess it would have looked like murder. And so he decided to pull me, like, on the side of the boat so I could get in.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So I just felt like since I was the only black person that there was no accident. I felt like it was done deliberately.
Wow.
I could be wrong, but that's just how I felt.
It's not, and you all, I mean, you and listeners, and then, wow, that's what it sounded like to me, and you all know how colorblind I try to be, but the truth is the truth. Oh, my God. That's what it sounds like. And knowing your history with the rights of black, wow. And all people, wow. That is crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there might be somebody listening that had a similar experience as you and know exactly who you're talking about.
Yep.
Wow. They might say, I know exactly who she's talking about in Hawaii. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, I hate to be that way, but I mean, what else am I supposed to think?
And the others probably noticed that, too. They probably said the same thing. Why he didn't drop us, why did he drop her?
Right. Exactly.
So I'm sure the others noticed if they didn't say anything. They noticed. They probably looked like.
And they may not have spoken English because, you know, Hawaii is a big tourist destination. So they may not have spoken English or something. They may have been too shocked to say anything, or maybe they didn't want to cause any kind of confusion. I don't know. They were thinking. I just know what I was thinking. Let me please hurry up and get back to solid ground.
I'll stick to Hulu dance and learn how to dance when we travel to Hawaii. Well, yeah, I guess that's pretty harmful. What did you say? Did you do any of that?
No, I didn't do any hula dancing, but I went to a luau where there was a lot of hula dancing, and I didn't experience any discrimination there. The luau
among the
was
natives.
Wonderful. Everybody was very nice and friendly at the luau. I don't recall seeing any other black person other than myself. But I don't recall.
And I have friends that live in Hawaii and non-blacks too, but they seem I know racism is everywhere, but I figure it was like a free place to be, but it always lurks. It always raises its ugly head somewhere.
Native Hawaiians aren't particularly fond of people from the mainland. They don't particularly like white people. They call them howlers.
Right.
And I used to see that on Hawaii 5-0. And I just kind of thought that was something that was written into the script. No, that's true.
That is?
That's
right.
Very true. Yeah, they call them howlies, and they don't like howlies.
Wow.
And when my first time to Honolulu, I actually felt like I was in some city in Asia, like I might be in Taiwan or Hong Kong or somewhere, because there was so many Asians there. And I got tickled because I was on Kalakaua, one of the main streets there in Honolulu, and this Asian lady came up to me, and I think she was asking me for directions. And I said to myself, now, I know I don't look Asian, because she spoke whatever language. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't English. And I think she was asking me, from what I could gather, I think she was asking me for directions. And, you know, I've been told that I have eyes that are different from the average person, that I look like an Eskimo.
Your mom and my mom, y'all, you have like Asian eyes, and Beverly's daughter Nicole have like Asian type eyes.
Yeah. I've been told that a whole lot, and so maybe she thought that I was Asian or of Asian descent or whatever. But I didn't
wonder. No wonder my guy Terry's mom. Terry mom loves to go to Hawaii, and if I show you a picture, she would blend in. So that must be one reason why she like going to Hawaii, because she light complexion and kind of have like Asian looking eyes. So,
well,
and then people
had fun when I went.
Right, but I can see them thinking that you might be a native there. I can see that. Yes, you, mom, and your mom, and Beverly's daughter, Nicole, you all. And I wonder about those Asian eyes. Yes.
I don't know how that can, because everybody else in the family, I think, has deep-set eyes, but I've never had deep-set eyes. And I had a real good friend who told me that my eyes were different. And one of my schoolmates back in the day when we were in elementary school, junior high school, and she was talking about I look like an Eskimo or an Egyptian or something. You know, she was saying, you don't look colored.
Oh.
That's what she meant when she was telling me that. Because she was like, your eyes are different. Because I had never paid attention to it. I always thought I looked colored or Negro or whatever we were called at the time.
You always thought you looked what?
Colored or Negro or whatever we were called at the time.
Right. Oh, and that's a whole other subject. The following upcoming, I need to just go ahead and schedule these shows on different topics. Some people think we're dealing with identity crisis within our race because we cannot decide what we want to be called. So what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I'm black. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm black. Now, one of my dear friends, he wants to fight me tooth and nail. He's a young guy. He's 35 or 36. And he is just hell-bent on being African-American. And I told him, anybody can be African-American
with mixed heritage. I say American, and sometimes I say African-American. But I like to say American first.
Africa is a continent. And I
done the late Mr. Charles Evers. You sound just like the late Mr. Charles Evers. You're like, I'm not from Africa. I'm born right here in America.
Yeah, and I don't know what country, even though I sent some DNA to Ancestry.com, I think they tell the same thing, all these black folks. You know, you 30% this, 2% that, and blah, blah, blah. Because, I have West African DNA in me. Well, of course I have West African DNA. That's no surprise, but I thought you could do better than that. Narrow me down.
Right.
Yeah. Give me one
down to the tribe and whoever.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. But no, that's not what they did. I think you might have to pay a lot more money than what I paid to find that out. I need to talk to Henry Louis Gates.
You read my mind. We need to contact him. You read my mind. I was just about to say that. We need to contact him because he will go in depth, because I thought that when you go to Ancestry and what's the other one? Oh, I thought that they would tell you what tribe you're from. Huh?
No. 23andMe, I think,
is
the other one.
Oh, right. I thought they would tell you
right. No, child. They just went back to my great-grandparents on my mother's side. And,
Christine and Uncle James could tell us that.
Thank you. The Mormons could tell you that. So, I feel like I wasted money. I'm not bashing Ancestry.com. I was just disappointed.
Right.
I expected one thing, and I got something else. That's all I'm saying.
And I still want to do Ancestry, but I'm glad you told me, because I would be expecting to see pictures of the tribe. And
no, they're going to tell you that you have you 2%. You 2%. Scottish,
I want to hear about that great great granddad. I'm thinking he was Parisian for some reason, but I want to hear about our Caucasian side. Like where was our great great granddaddy from, and also our Indian heritage, exactly.
Yeah,
and when I worked,
I didn't get it yet.
Did you get any Indian in there? Because Indian blood.
I was telling you, Mama Rena, not Mama Rena, Mama Emma is supposed to be one quarter some tribe Indian. Yeah. And she
did it come up in your
No. Did you ever see Mama Emma?
Was she in Gulfport?
No, Mama Emma lived in Star of Florence, Mississippi.
In
but
Florence.
She did look native. She looked like she had some Native American blood in her.
Okay.
She didn't look, she didn't have the long.
Sure did.
She good didn't have the long straight hair.
Uh-huh. I meant to interrupt you. And what?
Oh, I was just saying, Mama Emma, I could tell she had some Indian ancestry, and I was told that she was one quarter Indian. I don't know how true that is, but back on me, most of my DNA showed Ghana, I think, some Nigerian, and a smidgen of Scottish, and one teensy-weensy bit of British something or other. And I don't know, because I've talked to other people who went to Ancestry.com, and they seem to have the same percentage of whatever I had.
Uh-huh.
And I just was disappointed. But, when I try to go deeper, it's like, for $99 more, we can do this, or for $159 more, we can do that. And I don't like these little carrots, you know, that you dangle in front of me for me to find out more. I've got to pay more money. So I was disappointed.
Well, I wonder if Henry Louis Gates have resumed production of his show, because we need to contact him.
Yeah, we do. I don't know.
Because he goes so in depth. I love how he investigates and goes, so he go down to the, to every cell.
Yeah, he has all kinds of records and stuff. But I didn't learn anything, you know, that I didn't already know. I knew I was descended from West Africans, and I had some idea that, you know, from listening to older relatives, that we have some Caucasian blood. I mean, who doesn't?
I'm glad you told me it's Britain. That we're part British and Scottish.
Yeah, it's such a small part.
I was beginning to think Parisian, French. I don't know. For some reason, I just always felt that that we had a French in us. But I always felt a closeness to what you mentioned, you know. But I, for some reason, I thought we might have some French in us. But that's good to know.
I didn't think
we knew that.
Yeah. Well, I knew I was. I had to have been from West Africa, you know, had to have West African DNA and some white DNA, because we had slaves in the family. And,
right.
I mean, that's just, like I said, if you were born at a certain time in the United States, that's just going to be part of your history. If you're, you know, a black American, you're going to have some African, some European blood.
I remind my non-black friends, like, we're mixed, you're mixed too, you know. But most of my friends know that. They know they're mixed too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you are from a certain tribe in Africa, you probably don't have pure blood, as they want to call it.
From the Alive with Kelly and Ryan show, she just loves Ancestry.com, you know, because she said it really just broke things down for her and her family. You know, she and her dad have a commercial for Ancestry about how important it is to know your history.
Well, a friend of mine that recommended it to me, she loved it. And I did connect with, I said, the friend that recommended it to me loves Ancestry.com. And I did connect with a cousin, I think a third or fourth cousin or something, who lives in New Jersey. And
Facebook mentioned to Betty that you connected with someone, I think, or last name Franklin. What were you saying?
No, I connected with somebody who's a Wansley. And she told me who her parents were, and James Albert, Aunt Luvinia, and Uncle Albert's daughter, great-granddaughter or something like that. And then there's this young lady, I forgot how we're related.
We might be concluding soon. So thank you all listeners for tuning in. Next week we're talking about violence. Hello?
Hello?
The show concluded now. I had looked up and it had just hit the 20s, so I had to announce that the show was concluding.
Oh, okay.
So can you hear me? So now we're not on air. We're not on air anymore live, so we're talking in private now. Because you were like, we're on air, but, you know, let the people know.
Yeah, I'm just speaking frankly. Ancestry.com ain't told me nothing I didn't know.
Right.
And I really think I think they made up, you know, this stuff about British and Scottish and all that kind of stuff. I just think they threw that little sampling in because it was such a small percentage, like 1%, 2%, 3% of this and 45% Ghana and 25% Nigerian.
Well, they did say Ghana. I just guessed it, Ghana. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The wealthy side, yeah. I hope. The wealthy side, I hope, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Look, Tommy talk about Ghana, because, you know, that's how he got into the business. He and Deidre had made that trip to Ghana. And so Tommy talked about Ghana. He said, people be talking about we need to go back to Africa. He's like, I don't mind. He's like, Ghana, it is gorgeous there.
Yeah, but I had a dear friend from Ghana. When I worked for the mortgage company, I had this friend who was from Ghana, as sweet as she could be. And she showed me a lot of pictures from Ghana. And then I worked with a young lady, and she was married to a man from Ghana.
Yes, because I have Facebook friends from Ghana, and I love their posts. They I guess they're middle class. What is it, Ghanaians? Or and they really show some nice. How you say it?
Ghanaians.
Something like that, and I sometimes I reshare their Facebook lives. I mean, amazing. And you wouldn't know, you would think they were American because they're so Americanized. You know, when I'm watching these events, I'm like, wow, they're so. Until you hear the accent, you would think they were American just looking at them.
Well, I noticed a lot of Americans have moved to Ghana. I watched the video on YouTube, and this couple was saying that you have to get used to the power outages, especially if you're trying to work and your internet keeps going down. But a lot of Black Americans are going to Ghana to live.
From what I see, it's beautiful. It looked like you can, a lot of opportunities.
It might be, but it ain't for me. If I was going to live in a foreign country.
You live in Dubai.
I could. You know, the heat would probably run me crazy during the summer, but I'd just stay in the air conditioning. But I definitely could live in Dubai. And when I went to Morocco, I wanted to live in Tangiers. Then when I went to Hong Kong, I wanted to live in Hong Kong. And then when I went to Paris again, I wanted to live in Paris. So I can't make up my mind.
I know Prince loved him some Paris. Prince loved London, but he loved him some Paris, yes.
Yeah, me too.
Wow. And then Patrick Kelly. I mean, Patrick Kelly, oh my goodness.
Mhm. Yeah, he was beloved. Yeah, they loved him, in Paris, very much. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, there are a lot of nice places on the planet to live. But I know when I used to talk about moving to Hong Kong back in the 80s, Michael Payne was asking me, wouldn't I miss family and friends? And I said, not really. Because I don't know, at that time I wasn't detached from family or friends. I just felt like I could make a life in a different country and that I could adapt and I could make friends with other people.
That's what I like about you. You can keep your connection with family, but you independently live your life.
Yeah, I don't feel that need that I have to be. You know, like our aunts and uncles and stuff, how they all lived in like close proximity, almost the same neighborhood.
Right.
Like they couldn't cut the umbilical cord or whatever.
Right.
I've never had that.
Right.
Like I could be away from them, you know, not
but still express your love.
I can still love you, but that doesn't mean that I have to be 2 mile radius of you. Because I used to ask my mama, well, how come y'all got to live up and down the street from each other and round the corner? Can't y'all move out?
Right.
You know, our family, you know, I had friends who used to go to New York and California and Chicago every summer and visit relatives. And then when they have family reunions, you know, they're going to different states. Everybody we knew was in Jackson, except maybe some of the relatives of the country, you know, who were 15 to 20 minutes away in Florence.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. And Uncle James was the type, too. You know, he had to get away.
Yes, you and Uncle James, and then it so happened you two are the two that I'm close, grew up close to, and always intrigued by your stories. Right.
Yeah. So James has full scholarships to several colleges when he graduated from high school. He was real smart in school. And I was looking at those scholarships, and I just knew, you know, he'd be the first one in the family to go to college. But he was like, no, I'm going to go to the Air Force. And later on, you know, many years later, we were talking. He said he couldn't wait to get out of Jackson, Mississippi. And I couldn't either. I couldn't wait.
Right. Wow. So, oh, they're talking about the breaking news, Cousin Linda, the Delta variant.
Yeah.
I know it's from ABC News, too, because I scheduled a show, too, where we finished before, but it's supposed to be an hour, but we expanded it to 2 hours. There's breaking news about
Delta variant.
Yeah, I'm
watching
ABC.
Me,
July
4th. And then at 5:30. Yeah, 5:30, I'm going to switch over to NBC, and then at 6, I'm going to watch 60 Minutes.
Right.
But yeah,
local news, and I need to be nosy and see what's going on in Dallas, too, local news.
It's almost as bad as Jackson with the crime, but, you know, Dallas is so big and spread out until that don't really affect me.
I tell people. I'm like, I feel safer in Dallas. I said, but Dallas is a metropolitan city, major millions of people.
Yeah. You're not confined to Jackson. It's just tiny. And then all that crime, you know, it looks
like
a good
old-fashioned glass fishbowl. Right.
Yeah. And so when you hear about somebody getting shot, two or three people getting shot, well, if your population is only 150,000 and you got somebody getting shot every day, yeah, that's a lot. But like here, we might have 8 or 9 people getting shot every day. You know, you've got road rage, you've got regular crime and all that. But Dallas is so huge.
But I had noticed it's different. What were you saying?
I was going to say, when you hear about three people getting shot, well, that's 3 people out of 3 million. So rather than three people out of 150,000.
Sometimes
it'd
be 3 shots at the same time in the same area, but they're different cases here in Jackson.
And then Jackson, what's the square miles of Jackson? Maybe 20 square miles as opposed to 100-something square miles. So it's a huge difference, you know. Because I know my friend William Walker be talking about Dallas got crime, Dallas got a lot of crime. I'm like, yeah, but you can't compare it to Jackson because I'm always on his butt about crime in Jackson. And he's quite defensive. And I said, I can understand you want to be defensive of your city, but there is no comparison between Jackson and Dallas when crime is involved.
And yeah, you're right. I have noticed that in recent months, I noticed some stories from Dallas that I even mentioned it to Beverly. I'm like, Dallas having crime like Jackson. Oh, my God. You know?
Crazy crime stories. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like, oh, my goodness.
But
I remember last Huh? Unless you what?
Unless you're in that part of town, it doesn't affect you.
Right.
Whereas
I remember,
it's
a whole city. I was working primaries last March, right when March 10th. It was like when COVID when the first case hit Seattle, March 10th, and I was working one of the primaries during the election at the fire station on Mega Everest, and I held conversations with the captains and the firemen and so on, and I knew a few of them, but one of the captains, who was also a police officer, talked about like serious cases from arson to wreck to shooting. And then I asked him, like, well, where are the hot spots? Guess what his answer was?
What?
The entire city is a hot spot. He said the entire city of Jackson is a hot spot. He was like, no certain neighborhood. He said the whole city, even upscale neighborhoods, the whole city.
Exactly.
Is a hot spot.
Yeah, because Eastover is not immune. I think maybe the only place they don't have crime is Woodland Hills. Because Fondren has plenty of crime. And Post South Jackson.
Oh, my God. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, South Jackson recently.
Yeah, that's what I keep trying to tell my friend William. You know, y'all's criminals don't discriminate. They hit the entire city over here. Yeah, it's just certain parts of crime and crazy crime stuff that occurs.
Now, I always say I'm going to create the show, and then I don't create it, but I'm getting ready to create this show for next Sunday. So we're going to discuss violence in America and our American cities and the athletes, especially the Olympian, not passing the drug test.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm like you. I agree with you. She should have taken off. So, well, I'm sorry, but I just can't compete. Because if you know you're smoking weed, you know it's going to get detected.
As many drug tests as they have to go through.
Right.
It's just like, you know, you're going to have a drug